Kirsty Bedford has been chronicling the reactions of leaders in the travel and tourism sector to the changes wrought by the coronavirus pandemic. Tonight she speaks with Simon Westaway, Executive Director of the Australian Tourism Industry Council, on what he believes the sector, mostly small businesses, needs to survive post-COVID-19.
We're speaking today to Australian Tourism Industry Council Executive Director Simon Westaway. ATIC is the national representative body of Australia's state and territory tourism industry councils and represents more than 8,000 tourism businesses. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon, Kirsty. Thanks for the opportunity.
Let's start by just talking a bit about how the industry has been impacted. Obviously, you're representing quite a number of thousands of businesses. So how are they faring? I mean, obviously not so good at the moment.
Yeah, look, they've been slammed. It's hard. I mean, I'm a very glass half full person, and most, I think I probably reflect the tone and the approach of many in the industry is it's generally a very optimistic industry. It's an industry that obviously has done, let's be frank, extremely well off the back of, you know, record domestic and international visitation going at some clip for some time now. But we're in a really, really uncharted waters. You know, obviously, the international visitation tap's been turned off and that won't be turned on anytime soon. And domestically, it's obviously very difficult because of the existing social distancing arrangements and physical arrangements are in place. But most states and territories have some sort of artificial border or fortress that's been established. So in essence, it's actually very difficult to even move around over the short to medium term at this stage unless we start to see some lifting. And what that has precipitated is, in essence, no bookings, no forward bookings or any expectations of being able to do that. Numbers of our members were impacted off the back of the fires over Christmas and into January, and they've almost rolled straight into COVID-19. So ain't a pretty picture, to be honest.
Yeah. So for a lot of them, obviously, they might not even make it out of that. But for those that hopefully will, what are they doing to sort of try and ensure their survival, or in particular sort of pivoting more to when people can take road trips and even we can have interstate travel again?
Yeah, so it's a great question. We're going to lose numbers of businesses. So for a bit of a quick picture, there's a little bit over 300,000 registered tourism businesses or enterprises that state that they do some type of tourism or visitor economy activity to as a catch-all in this country. Almost 90% of those businesses are, in essence, micro or small businesses with 5 employees on the books or less. In many cases, we're talking, it's a bit cliche, but the mum, dad, one of the siblings is, or one of their children are sort of running the business. It could be a charter operation, say, out of Broome, could be, adventure tourism, these types of things. They tend to be family affairs. It's a very small business orientated. So, yes, we have some really big ticket players, the Qantas Groups, the Accors, the Mantras. So you've got some big players, some of the big adventure tourism organisations, but then the bulk of our sector is made up of small players. So they do dip in and out a little bit. So we are going to lose businesses. Tourism Research Australia does the research around this. It's a bit backward facing, but to their credit, they can only work within the resources that they have, and our data is actually really strong. But I think we're going to see, I'd be stunned if we don't have at least 20% of businesses fall off as a result of this. And we obviously want as many to survive as possible and to prosper, because if we come out the other side of this, which we will, Australia's in a good place. The brand's in a good spot, putting the bushfire dramas to one side. We're an appealing destination. We've got an economy which can sustain a very strong domestic tourism industry. And while we wait for the international barriers to be opened up.
So they'll obviously have to revisit a lot of their marketing or the ways that they are going to attract that domestic market. Are they talking and looking at ways of how they can try and attract more local people?
Yeah, they are. So our organisation, without sort of pushing us too much, we do a lot of work. We have a quality tourism framework, and we're a big pusher on accreditation and business resilience and building skills and building aptitude within your tourism business, because people tend to fall into the industry. There's obviously family affairs and generations that are involved in our industry, but there's people that sort of come into it partly as a hobby and then it becomes something bigger. You know, we work with our members around just the way that they interface with the market, their booking engine capability, their web presence, whatever type of social media engagement and activity they do. And the ROI on that sometimes can be a bit questionable, but nonetheless, you've got to put yourself out there. And the reason that we do a lot of work with our members in that way, and the wider industry has to think that way, is that for an industry that's almost predominantly small business in its setup, we actually are very outwardly facing, not just to the domestic market, but the international market. So well in excess of $3 out of $10 visitor dollars are spent in our market are come from international visitors. The domestic market obviously is the driver of the tourism industry in Australia. But yeah, look, there's small firms that are having to engage with international enterprises and ITOs and travel buyers and the like abroad. So it's a bit of a patchwork quilt, and so it's why I guess it's hard for government to get a bit of a full read of our sector, because an airline pull out here, a change in accommodation structure here, the impacts of Airbnb and the like, it all has differing effects and impacts, and sometimes it's very hard to measure that.
And some of those businesses that are primarily attracting that international market will obviously have to start reassessing things like pricing and how they sort of draw in the domestic market who wouldn't otherwise look at it because of probably primarily pricing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's some exposed regions here on the international side. And look, it's been exciting what's occurred in the last decade plus. Australia's had a Tourism 2020 strategy, which is about to close out. And, I was probably quite privileged to play a quite a large role in the development of 2020. I was a senior executive at Tourism Australia at the time when we were charged to get this strategy going and getting industry on board and working with a whole of government approach to get the states and territories on board the federal initiative, but basically to double overnight visitor spend in our country over a 10-year period, to work on improved air access, destinational access, and the big play, which was China. And where we got to pre-COVID-19 and pre-fires, we had the Chinese market just go like a bullet, basically compound growth of up to 20% per annum, but it has tapered off to about 4-5% growth in more recent times. But, we had almost 1.5 million short-term arrivals a year coming from China, more than we get from New Zealand, and almost 12.5 billion in annual expenditure. Now, there's a student market within that, and there's a visiting friends and relatives market within that. But in a pure tourism terms, it's all captured, but in pure tourism terms, it was almost 60% of that market was visitors coming here for a holiday or a short break or a long break. So incredible, really. And so many of our members and many of businesses in the tourism industry have really structured their businesses towards that. So,
and I guess that sort of draws us into the looking into the area of the importance, really, of maybe that Trans-Tasman bubble that's been discussed, and getting Kiwis over here as much as Kiwis need us over there.
Yeah, a big believer in this Trans-Tasman bubble. I personally am a big believer in an expanded and more seamless Trans-Tasman travel market, particularly by air. It completely fits with low-cost and efficient airline models around the 3 to 4 hour flight sector for narrow-body aircraft approaches. So the great opportunity here, both Australia and New Zealand, whilst they've taken slightly different paths to where they've got to with COVID-19 virus management within the islands of which Australia and New Zealand separately are, we're basically at the same place where we're in a much better place than the rest of the world. So the opportunity is there. The only realistic international market that can reopen to Australia in the short to medium term, and by that my caveat is to the end of 2020, is the Trans-Tasman route. There's more work that needs to be done there. We need to create a health passport as much as the customs immigration and quarantine passport that's in place. But, our industry is pushing our government really hard. The great thing is there's probably more in it for the New Zealand side than it is the Australian side, because the amount of Aussies that go to New Zealand each year many people love places like Queenstown. The point is we do get a lot of visitors from the Kiwi side coming across, around 1.4 million. Annual visitor arrivals around about a $2.5 billion visitor spend. So out of Kiwis coming to Australia. So we need to make that happen. There's technology enablers in place. Airports need to partner with airlines. The building blocks are there. We've got to push very hard on this now, because I can't see in any time in the future why we'll get services out of the States, Europe, or perhaps China, and medium term.
All right, and look, we're going to have to wrap up shortly, but I guess that sort of moves on to the last thing I wanted to talk to you about, which is, like you touched on, how the industry will change and having to have something like a health passport and how that will actually change travel.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, how quickly things move. You know, people movement, you know, we've never seen more people move around up until pre-COVID-19, and all the projections were on a global sense that was going to continue. And there's no secret to why Australia's done really well. We've got a great, compelling brand. We have fantastic air access. We've got a liberalised aviation market. A lot of cruise ships were coming here on a bit of a metaphor for the issue at the moment. But, you know, we had access, was there. A health passport, I think, is going to become important. And it may not be actually a physical document per se. Well, I guess perhaps another way to think about that is how to departure and arrival points, such as airports and seaports, how do they have a management system around COVID-19 or severe disease detection? There are great technology enablers out there, and it's more than just someone throwing a thermometer to your forehead. There are companies out there that are doing work in this space now around COVID-19 symptom detections, which include respiratory heart rates as well as temperature checks. And what we require, I think, for two destinations, be it as a domestic market, interstate, or an international market, is to have that closure, if you like, an envelope at both ends. Now, if that can become to pass, and if that can effectively screen people and importantly give confidence to people to travel, I think we'll start to see people start to move into those markets. And if we don't, I think it's going to be a long road back, to be frank, You know, the public health arguments are pretty clear that most of COVID-19 incidences in this country have come in from Aussies getting back home or visitors bringing it in.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we could talk about this for hours. It's a fascinating area, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see how things evolve. But thank you for your great insights there, and really appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Love to talk again. The industry is obviously going to be evolving in coming months. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
Simon Westaway of the Australian Tourism Industry Council speaking with our Kirsty Bedford for her series Fight or Flight.